I hope that your faith is helping you wherever you are in the present crisis. For our Lord wants to be of help to you in any crisis. What does the psalmist say? That the Lord is available to us in any kind of trouble and in any time of trouble. I'm sure it says any time of trouble, and I am sure it means also in any kind of trouble. And so we have an affirmation of our faith, so that we are helped in knowing what it is that we believe. And today's is from 1 Timothy in the second chapter. God, our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, for there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. The reading of God's word for today is from 2 Corinthians in the 10th chapter, verses 3 through 6. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I read a Facebook post last week. I think I get what the writer was saying, but they didn't say it well. I think that what they were trying to say is that we should trust God. But what they said was, fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. But that isn't true. Fear is an important part of our emotional range. You and I are all here today because somewhere in our ancestral past, and maybe in many places in our past, our ancestors were afraid. And their resulting caution meant they survived to have children. Fear is simply a response to what scientists call a stimulation. The stimulation can be on the skin, in the sweat glands, something we see or hear. Fear can be helpful. And we also know that fear can get out of hand. We also know that fear can get out of hand. It's okay to have a fear of heights, but if your fear of heights prevents you from going upstairs in your house, fear has become a problem to you. I spoke with a woman a few weeks ago. She had been to several stores. She noticed that in one of the stores, only the staff were wearing masks during this pandemic. And she said, and these are her words, I will never shop there again. I usually take people at their word. I assume that whenever we get a vaccine for the virus, that this woman will return to that store that she would never shop in again. But the point is that the woman stated very plainly a bias that she has and indicated how she was going to act on that bias. And her bias was based on fear. Is she wrong to make a snap judgment like that? Maybe, and maybe not. The woman believes that the stakes of wearing a mask or not wearing a mask in a store are pretty high. The stakes are high. Besides, the worst thing that might happen to this woman and her prejudice in avoiding that store is that there's a sale at that store and she won't go. She'll have to miss the sale. On the other hand, if she would reject her fear and prejudice and go to a sale at that store, she could get the coronavirus. It is possible in this case I've outlined that the woman's prejudice will save her life. We do not know. So in this woman's situation, she's made a judgment based on a few moments of shopping at a store during a pandemic. Her fear led to a judgment regarding a store she was in, and based on that one incident, she's not going back to that store. Friends, you and I make hundreds, maybe thousands of decisions every day. Really, our life is pretty exhausting. So we do a lot of things automatically, and we do a lot of things out of habit. It keeps us from having to make decisions about every little thing that we do. We do many things without thinking, by which we mean we do not consciously think or decide about every decision. And we have preferences and biases that help us lighten our mental load. We always buy the same toothpaste. We always buy the same soap or laundry detergent unless something has come up that requires that we review the decision. Maybe the price went up. Maybe they don't make that product anymore. Or the hoarders got to your favorite product before you did and the store is out of your preferred brand. Corporations like to call it brand loyalty, when all we're trying to do is keep our brain from wearing out with all these decisions. In many ways, bias and prejudice can and do help us. This is the important first point. We all have prejudices and biases. Don't tell me you aren't prejudiced. Yes, you are. We all are. And I go a further step. Your biases and prejudices have been helpful to you. I am even of the belief that our ability to distinguish differences between things has put us at the top of the food chain. A good example are mushrooms. If you want to eat wild mushrooms and you hunt them yourself, you'd better be able to tell the difference between the safe mushrooms and the toxic mushrooms. If you get it wrong, it might be the last toxic mushroom you ever eat. But your ability to distinguish between them is the difference. Your ability to judge, have bias, and prefer, in this instance, helps you. Here comes the problem. Since your abilities to tell differences and biases and preferences have been helpful to you, we trust all of our biases and prejudices. Now we have trouble. We are especially all in trouble when we trust all of our biases and prejudices about people. So let's talk about racial bias. Many people came to their racial biases based on information they have been given, or information they acquired, or a combination, because we are not born with a racial bias. You have to be taught that people are different. I read once about a Japanese-American young woman living in California at the beginning of World War II. The Japanese had just bombed Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, a devastating attack costing over 2,000 lives, and the U.S. lost a great navy. The next day, December 8, 1941, this young Japanese-American woman noticed people staring at her. This woman was about 18 years of age. She said, until that moment, she had never thought of herself as different from anyone else. Until that moment when people stared at her, she had never thought of herself as different from anyone else. But there, people we call Caucasian were making it very clear that they could tell a difference between the young woman and themselves. Because the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor, Americans were now afraid or suspicious of all Japanese. Americans eventually put Japanese Americans in internment camps. Americans put Japanese Americans in internment camps despite the fact that the American Army had a military unit made up of Japanese Americans who fought the war with distinction and honors. What if our prejudice and bias had kept that military unit from forming or fighting? My experience has been that people from Asia can easily tell the difference if someone is Chinese or Japanese or Korean or Vietnamese. Me, I can't. I'm only capable of prejudice against large groups of people. I can't single out subgroups for discrimination and racial bias. It's like that one man said, "I don't discriminate, I hate everybody equally." Friends, telling the difference between mushrooms and telling the difference between people is something that has to be taught or you teach yourself, because people are people. Some of what I read states that we are all different from one another no matter what. None of us has identical fingerprints. None of us has identical voice print, and it cannot be copied or imitated. And yet millions of people decide to group people or put people in groups. Then having grouped people, some folks decide to treat people based on what group they are in. They do not base their treatment of people on the individual. Why? It's a shortcut. It saves our brains from getting exhausted, just like many other decisions we make. But in this case, our making things easy for ourselves makes things hard for others. Maybe impossible. 150 years ago in New York City, many places of business had signs up that read, "Irish have no need to apply here for work." I mentioned a race riot in this town last week. Greek Orthodox railroad workers who use incense in their worship. From the newspaper article I read, it was the incense that really tipped off the citizens of Daleville that those railroad workers were not from around here. And the good citizens of Daleville decided that those railroad workers were not welcome here. Neither they nor their religious practices. So the town folk went after them to drive them out of town. The people of Daleville had categories in their brains they either learned or decided on and grouped all the Greek Orthodox in the same group. They did what the people in New York City did with the Irish. Most of us grew up believing that being an Indian was not a good thing, that Native American Indians were not good people. We didn't even call Indians people, we called them savages. Sometimes Native Americans were called natives, but that word, native, doesn't have a lot going for it either. If you're Caucasian and live in a small town and are called a native, that's usually a good thing. If your skin has a darker color and you're called a native, that usually meant you were primitive in your ways of thinking, or in the ways you did things, or just plain dumb or simple. I've shared with you more than once that when I was a kid, I was overweight. I was called fat. I was body shamed. People did treat me differently. Kids did make fun of me. You know, it doesn't take a lot of brain power to notice someone is bigger than the next kid. It doesn't take much brain power to notice that someone's skin is a different color. But why do we think that either one of those things means anything at all? We have taken our ability to see the differences in people and misused them. Discrimination, or what we usually call racial discrimination, is a misuse of one of our mental abilities that usually helps us. But in these cases of misuse, others get hurt. Now, the Church of Jesus Christ has had to deal with this. The church has had to deal with this problem since day one. The church of Jesus Christ is not caught off guard by what we are reading in the news today. Not at all. It must be abundantly clear to anyone who has read the New Testament once that Paul and Paul's churches had to deal with bias, racial prejudice, and racial discrimination. So Paul has to say more than once to more than one group of churches, there is neither Jew or Greek in Christ Jesus. Friends, you and I can't even tell the difference between Jews and Greeks. Admit it. We may not be capable of bias in that direction. But Paul's congregations could tell the difference, and some of them were sharing their bias and discrimination openly. So what to do? Well, Paul first of all notices where the problem is. Discrimination is hurting the church, the body of Christ. It was hurting the church's mission. The Apostle James will have to point out prejudices and biases with regard to rich and poor, James chapter 2. But Paul notices the problem of prejudice in Jew and Greek. So let's notice. Prejudice and bias begin in the head. Prejudice and bias are solved in the heart where Jesus lives. This is the first step. Noticing how we group people trying to save our brains. And we have to stop our thoughts in that direction. Or you say, well, I can't help myself. Okay, the kid is fat. What are you going to do? Isn't it your first response supposed to be to love the fat kid? Didn't Jesus mention that? The Apostle James did write, show no partiality. James wrote, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. Jesus didn't say for us to make sure that the fat kid knows that he's fat and that you don't like that. I've read the Bible several times. I never saw that in there. Now, if you're really self-aware, you might say to yourself, or if you know the fat kid well, you can say to the fat kid, you know, I was beaten up by a fat kid when I was a kid, so I'm having a hard time seeing you for who you really are, even though I know you're not the same fat kid that beat me up. I'm working through some things. Or you could just say, have a nice day, or God loves you. For some reason, in this country, we just think it's so important to speak our prejudices and biases. We don't ask people what group they're in. We put people in groups, and we put people in groups without their permission. Why did the Californians place the 18-year-old woman in a group of Japanese who attacked Pearl Harbor? Based on some similarity of facial features? You know, it sounds stupid when you ask the question logically, and yet that is what so many of us do every day. I told you I was in a donut shop a couple of years ago, and an adult young man and his mother were there, and the mother said, what donuts do you want? And she pointed to one, and the man said out loud, oh, I don't like that kind. And I didn't want to be prejudiced, but my first thought was that that man and I could never be friends. I will never understand that man, and he will never understand me. I came to some pretty snap judgments that morning. However, I did forgive that man, and I prayed for that man. That man felt free to state his prejudice. His prejudice gave way to mine, but I did pray about my prejudice about him. So friends, what are we going to do about a problem that has plagued the church since before Paul wrote his letters? We will continue to be biased and prejudiced, but we will not misuse our abilities. How? How is that possible? because of something else the apostle said. Our reading for today. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, we destroy arguments and every proud obstacle to the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. We take every thought captive to obey Christ. We can change our thinking. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, examine yourselves to see whether you are holding to your faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? We must stop our thoughts and examine them. See if our thoughts meet the test of faith. Obedience to the royal law, James called it, the command to love neighbor. 2 Corinthians 5, from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. We are not to look at other people with human eyes, but with the eyes of Christ. Jesus blessed and healed crazy heathens, literally, the Gerasene demoniac, a man possessed by demons. Jesus loved him. Jesus did not see a poor idol-worshipping man in league with the devil. Jesus saw a man suffering. A suffering man, not a suffering heathen. A suffering man. That's why the gospel writer told us that the man was a suffering heathen, because Jesus didn't see the man that way. Jesus didn't see Matthew as a sinful tax collector, a pawn of the horrible and oppressive Roman government. Jesus saw a future disciple sitting at the tax table that day. Jesus didn't see the heathen idol-worshipping woman with a sick child. Jesus saw a suffering mom with a sick child. Jesus made her speak her faith that she knew God would bless even heathens. So Jesus did. And healed that mom's child. Read it, Mark chapter 7. Jesus saw a mom in distress because of a sick child. What do you see when you see a young black man? What do you see? I have to ask myself that question. So must you. 2 Corinthians 5:16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. We regard no one from a human point of view. We shouldn't overuse and misuse these abilities that we have to note differences in people. We will notice when we are misusing our abilities, and we will try to correct our misuse. Instead of misusing and putting people in groups, we should work on growing in love for all people, no matter what group they are in. We will grow in love, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing, wrote the apostle. Why? Because we regard no one from a human point of view. I close with the apostle's words in Colossians chapter 3. Here, there cannot be Greek and Jew. Amen.